What's up and welcome to Mostly Focused. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan McCorder, joined by my beautiful co-host, Tanner Wilson, my beautiful co-host, Garrett Hunt.
Hello.
And my other beautiful co-host, JP Payton.
Hey.
Listen, there's no time for drama today. There's no time for puppy daddies and big mayos and Freddie Mercury's. There's no time for any of that.
Okay? No.
Because we're ready to talk about it.
Get to
it. We've had some Kentucky breaking news these last couple of days. I want to talk about it right now.
Okay.
I almost said, what's up and welcome to like KSR Light or something. I didn't know I was going to say something, but you know, mostly Calipari episode here. But
I have to say, no more. For years, it's bugged me how you say Calipari.
It's John Calipari.
John Calipari.
It's John Calipari.
JP.
I bet you say Louisville too, don't you?
It just depends. Caramel.
Caramel.
I say both.
I think I actually kind of do too.
I say both.
What do you say? Tongue it out.
Caramel. No, caramel.
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 Pecan,
yeah.
Pecan.
No.
Pecan. Yeah, pecan. No one says pecan. Yeah.
Pecan.
Some people do.
You say pecan?
Okay.
About pecan, pecan.
Caramel.
Okay. Pecan. Yeah, pecan. No one says pecan. Anyway, Joe Calipari officially left, but the weirdest part about it is that it happened in the middle of the night, basically, two nights ago. Me and my dad had like a 2-hour live conversation about this.
I did too. With my dad.
Yeah.
At 11 o'clock at night.
I know. I'm like, trying to watch a new Michael Keaton movie and I just had to pause it. Like, Dad, John Calipari's going. He's like, give me a minute. Went logged on to whatever message board he's on.
You mean Calipari?
What?
You mean Calipari?
Calipari.
Who are we talking about?
You know who John Calipari is.
I mean, I know who he is.
In a roundabout way.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, so he's gone. He's going to Arkansas. I still believe someone said, hey, scalding hot take. He tried to use this as just to reignite fans. Like, hey, we don't want to lose John Calipari. And the fans are like, give us Hurley or give us death.
No.
And then he's like, oh, I got to go now. So
I don't think that's what happened either.
But Arkansas seems like a weird move for me. I know he has ties there, but I wouldn't have expected it to be Arkansas.
He got the bag.
I mean,
he did get paid. The bag.
Yeah.
Bunch of attendees.
Yeah.
And probably some Walmart cards. I'd wager two being out there. But so my question to start the show is, who is going to replace Calipari and who do you want to replace Calipari?
I want Dan Hurley because I think he's a basketball genius.
Coming off back-to-back championships now.
Think is going to probably Scott Drew, which he'll be good, but he's really vanilla.
And he's the boring hire.
Yeah.
He's safe and safe is good.
And he's going to be really good.
JP?
But who would have thought like Baylor right now has the number 3 recruiting class?
I know.
Yeah.
And he's done he's had all the success Scott Drew's had at Baylor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, exact same. Like, I want Dan Hurley because I think he's a lunatic. And
yes, and I love
can,
it.
I can feed off of that. I think fans would feed off of that, and it would be a step up from Calipari.
I think so.
But I would be fine with Scott Drew.
Yeah. So you want.
I want Hurley.
Do you both think we're getting Hurley, or do you think we're getting Drew?
I don't think we're getting Hurley.
I think we might because, I mean, we're waving a bunch of money.
Yeah, like 11 to... Let's just say $11 to $15 million somewhere in that ballpark.
I think he sticks out at UConn and goes to the NBA in a couple of years.
UConn can't match that.
Yeah, UConn.
I don't think it's about matching money.
How do you leave after winning 2 in a row? It's be like, all right, let's go get 3. Let's go get 4. No one's done
3 in a row.
Right.
And he's a legacy guy.
Well, he's gonna go get 3 in a row at Kentucky.
But like $11 million is a whole lot more than $4.5 million.
It is, yeah.
And the tax rate's a lot lower in Kentucky.
That's true. I saw that.
you know about taxes.
I pay my taxes.
I pay my taxes.
On record.
Yes.
Shout out taxes. Shout out taxes.
Let's go. Actually, okay. No shout out taxes. Lame. Taxes suck.
Dude, taxes are the worst.
Taxes.
I also under the agreement, I want Dan Hurley.
Yeah.
I'm actually like 4 or 5 down on Scott Drew.
Yeah.
My wish list, number 1 is Dan Hurley. Number 2 is Billy
Donovan.
Can't
go past 3.
Number 3.
Can't make it past 3.
Number 3.
Don't go past 3.
Rick Pitino, baby. But not on a 5-year deal. A 3-year. If Dan Hurley, Billy Donovan,
National championship, get 5.
Okay, tell me that there's not a single coach who'd be more motivated to win out the gate than Rick Pitino at Kentucky.
He also might be more motivated to cry. Croak center court.
Nah, can you imagine?
And Billy Donovan, I don't understand the Billy Donovan thing.
I just
love
Billy Donovan. Always have loved Billy Donovan.
Yeah, but I mean, he's been in the NBA. He hadn't had any success. I mean, he hasn't had super, superstars.
Listen.
Mm-hmm. He's been out of college for 15 years when used to get in trouble for giving somebody a ham sandwich and It's a completely different.
He's just going to hire somebody to handle all that. I didn't know. I didn't know we were going to get fired. Give somebody a ham sandwich.
It's a completely different college athletics landscape.
Truth is, this episode is probably going to be released on this Friday.
We'll know about
it. We'll probably have a coach by then.
Yeah, we'll have a coach.
I mean, what do y'all think about Spencer Strider's UCL damage to his elbow?
I did hear about that.
Man,
I have no clue who Spencer.
I mean, there we go. Down with the brave.
For Strad gum.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay.
That's it. I forgot all about that.
That was like a 25 degree turn. That was a full like.
All right. Well, Spencer Strider, Stride gum. I haven't thought about Stride. Do they even make it anymore?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't either. Stride was on top of the world in high school. That was like, hey, you got a piece of gum I can have.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was.
How does it go into the culture crisis?
It doesn't, but hang on a second.
Oh, we're not ready?
No, not ready.
Oh, okay.
My hope is Dan Hurley, but Rick Pitino would be my dream.
Okay.
Rick Pitino. Can you imagine the ratings for Rick Pitino v. John Calipari at Rupp Arena next year? They hate each other.
I mean, yeah. But the last time Rick was in Rupp, he flipped us off walking out.
Yeah, well, it's a comeback tour. Yes, give me Dan Hurley or give me death. That's where I am with it. Okay. All right, so to start this episode, we're doing a fantasy draft.
To start it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're doing a fantasy draft of the icebreaker. We'll go in a round circle. So, Abby, you're going to be the keeper.
We got to be snake draft.
I don't care who goes first.
Well, I mean,
snake. You can't. So, as the icebreaker for this one, you cannot draft Jesus or Satan. No, okay. No angelic beings.
Okay.
No godlike beings. But they can be anybody else. You can do Goliath. You can do,
Lot.
Lot, yeah. You can do the pillar of salt if you want. I don't care. whatever you want. So, you're doing a starting five. And then what we're going to do as we go into Mostly Focus to get through our episodes, we have pastors on. We're going to have pastors choose the best starting five.
Okay.
So it's got to be from the Bible?
Yes, has to be from the Bible. Each other's team.
Fight to the death.
Yes, fight of faith, fight of the death, what you want.
Winner goes to hell.
Just think.
Loser goes to hell.
Dang, Jamie.
Wow.
Think he's not in charge.
Exactly. Give me 15 Thomases because they're going to doubt. They can doubt themselves out of it. So
battle buddies.
Battle buddies. battle buddies. So yes, the starting five, and you don't get a bench player, just starting five is going against everybody else's starting five. Faith, brawn, works, whatever you want. Who wants to start? JP, you seem to have the strongest feelings about drafting.
Who gets to go first?
Yeah. It is a snake draft anyway, however you go. No, let's just go in order.
So who's going first?
Let's just start with you.
Okay, me
let's
first?
Start with you. Oh, yes, first you get pick. First pick, JP.
Oh, man.
Because you do all the solderizing here, so you can first pick it out.
Oh, if that's the case, then I'm going Abraham.
Okay. Abraham. Yeah, JP chose Abraham.
It's not like it's being recorded and we can look back.
Easier this way because then she can send it to me. I can just post it later.
Okay.
I'm going to go Simon Peter.
Okay. Elijah.
Okay.
And I do want to know, why'd you choose Abraham? Is he a faith pick?
Yeah.
What feats has he had? None? You chose him strictly for faith. He's your faith pick.
I picked him because
I'm curious because the logic behind Abraham.
Because I feel like he's a biblical cornerstone.
Okay. I mean, the father of faith.
Yeah. He is the father of faith.
Yeah.
The first patriarch?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Why Simon Peter?
I think, I don't know. I mean, I like Simon's my favorite character in the Bible. So.
Shout out Simon.
Peter. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Elijah, because he lifts up his skirt and outruns a chariot.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's got the flash speed.
Yeah, he's got the speed.
He also calls down literal tornadoes of fire. And he killed hundreds of prophets with his bare hands and shut Jezebel down and rode a chariot into heaven, flaming chariot into heaven. So he's got faith and...
We got to move this along.
So pretty supernatural.
We got like five choices each. So
yeah, that's pretty quick.
So we're doing all five?
Yeah, right now. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's real quick. This real quick. You got
like
this.
Go ahead. Most...
And you
I
get
think
back
we
to...
just do one per episode. Like this is our
one
first
per
one.
Episode.
Yeah, I mean, this is taking forever.
We're good. We're good. We just got to fly with it. Yeah, you don't even have to know the name. You
okay,
just got to place
fault.
The story.
Yes. How about we just don't do descriptions of why forever?
Okay, I'll just like a 5 second. Go ahead. Who are you choosing?
Paul.
Paul. That's self-explanatory. Right, okay, go again.
Second
snake,
choice.
Snake draft.
John.
John.
John. Beloved.
Okay. Beloved. I was going to say Baptist or Beloved. I'm going to go with David. King David.
Okay. I'm going to go with Noah.
Okay.
I do have to say, David went very low on this draft. He slipped. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. He got caught peeping.
Sleeper.
Yeah.
He got Will Levis.
Yeah, see you.
He got
okay.
my choice. Oh, hey,
yeah. Yeah. I'm like the old singular Edge service right there. I was a little late to the party.
Shoot, my choice. I want Elisha because I think
Elisha. Yeah, he's inferior to Elijah.
Abraham, Elisha. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I gotta go yeah, again.
You got again.
Ooh, Joshua.
Okay.
Good. I was going to go Joseph.
Okay.
Paul. You said Paul?
I said Paul. No.
Oh, yeah. Good.
The first one. Yeah, you really think Paul's not making it?
That's a great choice.
Yeah. Explain nothing.
You really thought Paul wasn't out in the first round?
I did. I was surprised. My head's like, man, no one chose Paul. I was actually nervous when I was like, good, he didn't chose Paul. I'm going to take him.
Abby's keeping count here.
I'm going to go with Moses.
Okay. I'm going to go Jeremiah for one.
Okay.
And then...
Is this four for him?
Yeah, it's got to be four. I had one just a second ago. Who was it? Oh, can I have like a trio of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I mean, they're all grouped together.
No.
There's obviously a ringleader.
No, it's just different. You can't do that.
Okay. Is Daniel gone?
No, you can take Daniel.
Okay, I'll go Daniel.
Daniel's a good one.
Wow. And this one? Isaiah.
Wait, did he go twice?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Daniel.
Isaiah, because Isaiah can see the future.
Mm. Okay.
All right. I'm going to go with Jacob.
Yeah, he'll grab her.
Didn't you have Joseph too?
Mm-hmm. I'm just taking the whole family, man.
You're going to have some dysfunction in your group.
That's right.
Are you keeping track of who you had to?
I'm trying.
Yeah.
Trying. I'm a note guy, man. I have to have my notes.
All right.
Is this your final pick?
Or is it's my fourth.
Yeah. Okay,
fourth and last.
Okay.
So, but back
then. Okay.
I am going to go with.
Oof.
I feel like it's right in front of me. Can't think. Oh, John the Baptist.
That's a good one.
Nobody said anything. And then I'll end it with. We'll go Aaron.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a good one. I actually was debating on Aaron for myself. Aaron. So.
I go with Barnabas.
I thought you said Barabbas.
Barabbas, yeah.
Give us Barabbas. Yeah. Is that five for you? Are you out?
That is five.
Oh my gosh. Thought I had two more. Oh no. Who do I have? Will you recap me? Oh, that's a pretty good squad.
Okay.
you can go.
No, well, that is not how this works.
That's not how this works.
Are you trading down? What are you giving up?
So. I'm trading down. Do you already know who you are?
Yeah, I'm going deep cut.
Okay, you go deep cut while I think.
Simon the Zealot.
Okay.
I want a dagger in my pocket.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And just based off of the Chosen.
Yeah.
Well, I still have a chance.
I was almost Mary.
I almost was Mary.
Oh, yeah.
I almost
you can't
chose,
pick Mary now.
I already ruled out Mary in my head.
Who was it? Who is it then?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, Daniel. Daniel's been chosen.
Yeah, Daniel's been chosen.
No, I was just saying what. Get out here.
I think I'm gonna go with Paul. Just kidding.
You know what? I went Mama Mary instead of Simon.
No, dude, you can't do that. Yeah. You can't undraft somebody.
It's technically not exactly.
You already went.
It's your choice.
You're on the clock.
No, I traded down.
No. it has not been processed.
Right. I guess I'm going to go with... Actually, you know who had a really strong face?
We haven't even started the Joseph.
But, all right, I'm going to... Like, Father Joseph. To believe Mary had a virgin birth.
Okay. Oh. That Joseph.
That Joseph.
Mary Joseph.
All right. I'm just going to go with a deep cut as well because I just really cannot decide. I'm going to go with
Hagar. Oh, I don't know.
Gideon.
Yes. Gideon. Okay. Yes, really Gideon. He killed a whole army with a jawbone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the thing? What's the...
A hoe?
Yeah.
Sickle?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Hoe sickle.
Shamgar.
Shamgar.
Whatever.
So everybody get, is that five?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm ready to really dissect these later. I'm gonna have a great time with that. All right, so this episode, now that we've had our John Calip Pari Talk and our fantasy draft for five people of faith. Oh, someone should have chose Enoch. He just straight up walked into heaven.
We're done with the draft.
Yeah. He's the coach. We're going to talk about cultural crisis. As we as Christians, how...
Every time. Did you hear it? Yeah. Okay. He holds it down. He's like...
We're going to talk about the cultural crisis that we face as Christians today. As young, impressionable men, the cultural crisis we have, and all for the young, impressionable women that you have. And you as a youth pastor specifically, you can speak a lot of extra life into this because you see it. So speaking of which, are you surprised my thighs aren't thicker than they are? After yes. hearing about how I wipe?
Yeah.
Oh, moving on. My goodness.
So I think arguably we can all agree that the culture that we live in is really, really dark and really scary. Can't recover.
It's good. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been through worse things.
Exactly. Yeah. Have you?
I've visualized worse things too, so I'm good.
So we can all agree that our culture is like increasingly dark and stuff like that. So the question, the topic is, if so, where's the line? How do we maneuver around that line? Should we maneuver around it? And like, to you, what are the biggest issues that we're facing today? So, and I have some other plot points, if you will, that we can kind of discuss. So Garrett, I'll kick it to you to start because I started with them two in the last two. In terms of facing culture today, everything that we're going through, you know, you have the list here, whatever you can choose, whichever you want to start on or your own. Our culture today, how are you as a Christian maneuvering it? Someone who was, you know, you were into meth, you were into...
I thought you were going to say mess, but you went straight to the meth. That's fine. But your lisp came out.
Yeah, you were into all that stuff. The hardest of the hard drugs and, you know, just all the stuff.
Yes, yes.
And now you're not. Now you're in the light. You're on the Jesus drugs. So how do you maneuver it? You also working with kids, like youth. How do you help them? Because I know they're right in the mix of it. So,
yeah, I think the biggest thing that I've heard a couple pastors talk about over the past couple years is just grace and truth, where you know, you love people, you speak to them gracefully, but also tell them the truth. Because if you don't have grace, I mean, if you only have grace, then you're affirming everything that they're doing. And if you only have truth, then that seems like you're like judgmental and really just kind of preaching at them. And what I'm seeing with a lot of the youth and just from what I've seen over the past 6 years, from being a Christian, it's just so many people want to like thump the Bible at you and there's no grace in that, you know, and that's going to turn people off immediately. And so as I see the darkness, you know, in the world and everything now, even more clearly that I've come into the light, it's just, we got to be more graceful when it comes to our speech to people, because, you know, they're not going to come to know true love if we're not showing them love. You don't have to affirm their lifestyles or anything, but, you know, you have to come alongside them and then show them the way. Like, you can't blame the blind for being blind. And so many people, you know, will get so mad at someone because of their actions and then only speak truth, but not show them gracefully how to get back onto a path or show them the path that they've never seen before yet, you know? So, I mean, yeah.
You're saying people getting mad, like I have it written down here on mine, like show me a time where Jesus was mad at sinners. Like sinners are going to sin. Like, why do we get mad at them?
I know. This internet crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no,
that's a good point.
He's like, y'all see crystals with the cranks? First, Tim Allen's like, same goes for me, double after Nori. It's a great speech. JPX, same goes for me, double. I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, talking about the answering the first question, I like how I can see Garrett's notes. It's great. So
it's almost like Garrett should be in charge of
it. I know. Yeah, this is great because it's like helping me prompt my conversation. I'm like, because in my head, it's like, don't be mad at the blind for being blind. I'll use that. But Stephen Furtick, you know, just take all your notes and make it my own. So. Yeah,
that's fine. Whoa. Shout out.
Catching plagiarism. Yeah, in the name of the Lord, though. So
yeah, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'll copy your stuff.
Okay. Yes, okay. So, you know, the overall question before we get into like the, how am I maneuvering? You answered kind of how you're maneuvering in the dark, you know, as a Christian. How do you get through that? Because there's no way to not be in the dark. And you don't want to not be in the dark in a broad sense of the word.
When it's dark, the light shines brighter.
Right. So if you're not in the dark, evident. You know, part of the reason, you know, me and Abby, we talk about this all the time, and we had lunch with some friends after church Sunday. Part of the reason we love the church that we go to is because growing up, and this isn't slandered, any, you know, the church I grew up in or church Abby grew up in, just as an example, you know, it was not a, and you know, too, in broad speaking, it was a very prim and proper. I mean, the people were still people, but you didn't have a lot of brokenness in the church. I didn't see a lot of, you know, outward brokenness as a lot growing up in church. Everybody kind of looked like they had it together. There wasn't a lot of, like, I didn't see people get saved every Sunday. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or mm-hmm. there wasn't like, you know, the church, people say it should be a place for the hospital, not or a hospital for the lost, not a blah, blah, blah. You know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Not, yeah, exactly. Not a museum. I feel like and a lot of times growing up in the Bible, but you do get a lot more of that museum as a part from the hospital.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And part of the reason I love where, you know, we're at now is because every Sunday it's like, and there are some extenuating factors, I'll say that. But as a whole, for the first time, I feel like I'm seeing the church fully operate in a way that I haven't seen it before. Mm-hmm. And that's no fault of any other church. It's just a different location, different kind of thing, different, you know, things are invested into it. And it's just really doubled down, like, you know, being a light where you are shining mm-hmm. in the dark. So how do you maneuver in the dark? You have to have that light. And going back to this little light of mine, how stupid corny that is. But like, you know, for you, we talked on the last first episode we were in, you know, I was in the dark, even as a Christian for so long, I had the pilot light on. That was about it. And, you know, now for the last almost year, you know, I think the most important thing is being anchored in the mm-hmm. word, anchored in what I call the supplements, having a strong accountability base. So if you're married, having a spouse who's, you know, rooted mm-hmm. in the same thing, you know, I still talk to my dad and my mom every day. You know, we talk about mm-hmm. Kentucky basketball right now a lot, but yeah. still talk about, you know, faith and stuff like that. So I think the biggest, in terms of maneuvering in the dark in the culture, you can't be a witness if you don't have a foundation. So I think that's the biggest thing is check yourself, build yourself. The Bible is your blueprint, build your foundation around it, then go out. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that, you're going to just end up dark and mm-hmm. in the dark and not helping anything either. So mm-hmm. that's my answer to my question of how am I maneuvering in the dark?
Yeah, I'll say from my point of view, I would say that the three of us probably grew up very similar as far as like being heavily entrenched in like growing up in more charismatic mm-hmm. churches. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys had your path. Mine wasn't the same. I was very much like still involved going through high school. And
you're saying we took a heathen path.
Early. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're heathens. You've been saved from the clutches of hell.
Garrett just never had a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a Garrett heathen. Yeah, whatever.
But when it comes to navigating culture, I probably, like for me personally, I just wasn't involved in culture. Mm-hmm. Like you guys will rattle off music and all that stuff. And I was like, I don't even have any point of reference because I was like 13, 14 years old, bumping Jason Upton in my prayer closet Amen. Growing up.
Nice.
Amen. It's just like,
Eddie James.
Wow. Yeah. And it that's Jason like on deep cut. Yeah. I've revisited too. It's like,
and that's why Garrett thinks Ramp so cool. He'll never know Jason Upton, yeah. Eddie James Ramp. That's nothing.
Yeah. And so that's the thing is I that doesn't mean I didn't have my own darkness, yeah. but as far as like a cultural darkness, I just knew to stay the heck away from
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And coming out.
What? Stay away from what?
The darkness that is quote unquote culture.
Oh, okay.
Like I just,
you're talking about like
I
media,
just
didn't associate,
yeah,
people,
I just,
like,
I just didn't associate yeah, okay. with it
yeah, yeah.
As much as probably other people my age did. And so when I got older, it wasn't like I dove headlong into it. I just kind of became more and more numb to it. And so, yeah, I found myself being more cut off, not from a, like, this is truth. I'm gonna bang my Bible on your head. Like, I didn't associate with people. Like, it was very mm-hmm. isolating. And yeah, that's hard. So still kind of working through some of that.
Yeah. Same. I think we all should be, but
yeah,
I think about just like, we call it the culture war and we want to make everything a fight and like take the culture mm-hmm. back.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we're take back our land.
You
and
can
like,
say it.
They took our jobs.
Well, it's just, you can say make America great again.
So just such a like American
careful,
kind of
view.
Like, I was looking here that like the early church didn't try to win the culture. They tried to win the people.
Yep.
Like, you know, they just wanted to love people and just show them that, hey, I'm living a resurrected life because I trust in Jesus. And like, mm-hmm. that's, I don't know. How much do we do that? Like, is that our goal?
Yeah. Not, I mean, John talks about it pretty regularly and Jeff too. Like, mm-hmm. how many people have you witnessed to? You know, how many people have you led to Christ? Can you count them? Well, yeah, it's like mm-hmm. four. in 31 years. You know what I mean? Now, granted, that's not something you also sit back and like scold yourself over either. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't feel guilt over it, but at the same time, it should be kind of a awakening, because I mean, that's what we're called to do. Yeah. We just don't. Now, I can sit here and make 1,000 excuses as to why, but at the end of the day, I mean, that's, you know, you maneuver the culture, but changing it through your actions and your, mm-hmm. you know, not by political stuff or like trying to change the, you know, that's not where you're going with it, but thinking in my head, in my mind, like that's just where so many Christians get caught up thinking that's the only way to change the culture is by changing the legislation, therefore changing everything else.
I think that's I have it written down here. Like, I don't care about the empire. I care about the kingdom.
Yep. Yeah. And people get those things influx all the time. I think one of the biggest things for me is just, you know, my experience and learning, what I've learned.
He's reading my notes.
I was trying to change the words, and I was gonna just change it a little bit word by word.
You said learning, and then I paused. I was like, he's thinking on how to figure it.
I was gonna change his last sentence just word by word. He just changed it a little bit. But yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
That's not fair.
Yeah. No, you go ahead. You were in your thought, Jonathan.
I've been teeing that up for a while. Leaned in because I couldn't read your writing.
Yeah, that was 4 a.m. Time.
Golly.
Writing.
Today?
Yeah.
4 a.m.? A.m.?
Like a.m. Like
still dark outside?
Me and JP were practically still recording, or mostly filmed. So.
It's the only time I got, man.
You know, I think, you know, learning what I have learned is that people are blind just as I was, and that is my greatest weapon against the darkness. Did I butcher that?
No, yes. You can't read that.
Unbelievable.
Oh. Oh my gosh, I butchered that so bad.
Yeah, that was real bad.
So Garrett, what does it actually say then?
I'm learning and have learned people are blind just as I was, and that my greatest weapon against darkness is love.
It's really profound.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well said.
I thought that started the next paragraph point is love. And in my head, I was thinking, is love Jesus? Those are the first three words. Okay.
No. Good stuff.
Well, we've answered the question to how are we maneuvering in the darkness? Mm-hmm. So the reason I put my first bullet point up here is film and TV. When I was making this, I was thinking that one of the hardest things about our culture today is what we're seeing all the time. And that's whether you say social media or media in general, you know, where you can't avoid media. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you could, but it's not practical in this day and age. Not really.
And opinions are constantly being thrown in your face
all the time. Yeah. I mean, I'm the master at throwing them. So, I mean, I get it.
Master opinion thrower.
Yeah, that's right. MOT.
Mott.
Mott.
I don't get it.
All right.
Lost.
It was just a moment.
I'm actually reading this book right now. It's called Celebrities for Jesus. I sent y'all. It's how platforms and power and profit are hurting the church.
Yeah.
And it's basically kind of what you're talking about, just seeing stuff all the time from people and how we value follower counts more than like integrity and stuff like that. And just like have to be careful about who's influencing us.
Preachers and Sneakers guy that wrote
he didn't write it. He's mentioned in there quite a bit. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. I don't know what. Okay.
I had to quit. I had to
tune
you out. Listen to Tanner.
Could you speak into the mic?
I could see him still red, trying to hold his laugh in. I don't know why Mott was funny, but I can't move past it either. But
glad my shirt's black.
You know, we're like that youth pastor right now. Is it hot in here? Okay. So let's start with film and TV.
Okay.
Where do y'all's thoughts on that form of media? How do Christians have to maneuver? You know, me and JP have a film podcast.
Well, I was gonna almost say that I'm like JP when he was like in high school and middle school right now. It's like there's nothing I watch or listen to that I is like almost comparative. It's nothing.
You don't have time for that stuff because of like you see in like the area and life that you're in, mm-hmm. and the path that you're walking yeah. out, you don't have time to dedicate to stuff like that, regardless if it's good or bad for you.
Yeah.
Like you're just, you're preoccupied, like not preoccupied, like you are dedicated to more, which I think is good.
Yes. And there's, when I was in Lifeline and I got saved, and the first thing that had to change for me was what I listened to and what I was watching, because the things that I would listen to and watch, oh, decaf. No, I'm good. I appreciate it though. Oh no, I'll take some. Thank you.
Awesome. Shout out Abby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Oh, you're good.
I'm so nervous.
We made it. All right.
But when I was at Lifeline, I remember I tried to watch Rick and Morty, and I used to love watching Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and it just like, it convicted me inside. And I was like, you know what? I can't. Yeah, it did give me the ick. I was icked all the way out.
It's
actually,
for Christians, it's called hick.
The
hickies. I'm serious. The hickies.
Stop. This is not real.
That is not
No, I am 100% serious.
I've never heard Twitter, this in my life.
Twitter thing. I don't believe it's called the hickies. And it's something that
I will
like,
not look that up either.
I can think of plenty of times in church I get the ick.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the hickey, the ham sandwich.
Oh, okay.
No, seriously, it's like a homeschool thing. They say hickeys, it's holy ickies. They get the Holy Spirit ickies.
It's like a little tap on the shoulder by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Hey, hickey, that's the hickey.
Yeah.
That's the hickey.
I still don't believe it. I think you're just making this up.
Yeah. That sounds like a pretty good made up thing.
Nope, it's a homeschool thing. Promise.
Like, okay. Just a couple homeschool kids and you thought.
So you just don't. Rick and Morty was your conviction. You're Titanic iceberg, and you just don't watch or
I just don't watch or listen to anything like that anymore. And almost, I mean, just like what JP was saying, my life is just like so consumed with studying and teaching others how to get off that path. Cause it's like, I understand the spiritual background behind music and movies, especially. And I know there's differences. There could be differences of opinion there with movies and stuff, but like, we've talked about before, where do your convictions lie? You know, your convictions don't lie in the movies that you watch, and there's spiritual understanding that, you know, that comes along with some of the stuff that you may, you know, bring into your body, and you guys understand that. But like showing people like the truth behind a lot of these like Hollywood movies and music it's funny. And stuff.
Like, I actually agree with like both sides, because I know like you're a big film buff and like you watch whatever. And
however, then, like, I have dialed that back a tad to my dad's thrilled level.
Yeah.
So
like, I mean, I am kind of, I guess if you want to say, on the fence, like, I mean, can appreciate something for art, but then at the same time, know, all right, there are spiritual undertones here that I need to guard my heart from, you know, at the same time.
And so spiritual undertones for you, is that just like, because I have on here as an example, like at the last bit, is it like the demonic programming and blasphemy kind of stuff, or is that okay, go for like just
your
standard
just
language anything, or the nudity,
just whatever. Yeah.
So for me, nudity bothers me more than it ever has.
Yeah.
Yay. That's probably a big deal, right?
Yeah.
So I try to dial through, skip those parts of a film. But it's that the problem becomes for film people who are like, I love film. You'll know this. Obviously, me and JP just released 101st episode. Actually, congrats. I haven't released it. It will be.
Man, it's on your arm
at some point. Yeah. Yes. I have a whole film reel dedicated to it. Love movies. I will not be giving movies up. However, almost every film anymore that's a good quality film has questionable content, whether that is nudity, sexual thematic elements, or language. Now, language still doesn't convict me at all. Now, I still cringe at hearing GD and like JFC and things like that. I hate that. Always have. Yes. That's never, even in my like non-faith days, I hate that. Still hate that. But language still doesn't bother me. Maybe that'll
convict me. Can you close your legs? No,
man. Tanner's like over here. Crowd is like, I can't
deal with me a ham sandwich. Yeah.
So, that's a hickey.
Don't let me bring out the mott.
Don't you do it. It's not even funny now.
This is a one-time thing.
It was like us trying to solve
math
problems.
I'm going to have to find that clip and just post that 30 seconds of me and Garrett just wheezing in silence. So anyway, yes. So language still doesn't bother me. Maybe that's a problem I need to check my heart with. Don't know. Because I know Garrett's got it queued up about unclean words coming out of your mouth or something, I'm sure. No, just kidding.
I'm sure it's something.
I'm sure Garrett's ready to Bible thump me. But anyway, but nudity does bother me. The demonic stuff as a whole doesn't necessarily bother me, because I know I'm saved and I'm a Christian, and I just look at it at film for film's sake. However, there's a difference between being a demonic based spiritual film and glorifying demonic things. There's a difference. I tried to steer clear of the glorification of demonic films or demonic themes or whatever. JP just steers away from anything scary unless I really sell him on.
No, that's been ingrained in me for a long time.
But the one thing I really have become less tolerant of is blasphemous kind of stuff. Not just like a one-off joke. I can deal if we can't laugh at ourselves because we make it very easy. Like blasphemous jokes, as long as they're not at Jesus Christ's expense.
Well, I think the perfect example is The Book of Clarence.
Yes,
we talked about that movie on the podcast. Yes. Like, that is one. You watched the trailer for it.
I thought it was great, really, as a whole. I mean, I think it's a Jay-Z produced film, so that's especially now it's a little more problematic. But The Book of Clarence is a but I'm not gonna
this is not an endorsement.
No, it's not an endorsement, but I do think y'all should both watch The Book of Clarence. You two, you haven't watched it yet. It's about this guy named Clarence who lived at the same time as Jesus and ends up getting crucified because he's the brother of Thomas, twin brother of Thomas, and can't be a disciple, and it follows him and Barabbas and some stuff like that. And Jesus is adjacent to it, but makes him out to be the real Jesus. Like, it's not blasphemous about him at all. There's also a really funny part where Benedict Cumberbatch has a cameo. He's a homeless dude caked in mud. And at the end, he gets a glam up, but he gets crucified for stealing. And and that's who they paint as Jesus, because he's white with long brown hair.
Oh, my goodness.
That's funny to me. That is not blasphemous, because Jesus was not a white, brown, long brown
hair. Wait, Jesus wasn't white?
Yeah. And that's the joke. So if that's too blasphemous for you, then the film's not for you. But as a whole, it really glorifies Christ and the life of Christ. So I think it's something you should watch. It's actually a pretty good film, I think. But for me, blasphemy is my biggest draw. Nudity is becoming more of an issue because I think all media is... Well, maybe not all, but I would say 80% of media is driven by lust, the Jezebel spirit. So, spirit. You know, I do genuinely believe we do need to be more mindful than ever. However, I'm not quite where Garrett is. I'm not quite sticking my head in the sand because I'm not strong enough to deal with the themes.
We're just a weak family, man.
Build your house on the rock.
That's right.
See? But for me, that's kind of where I am with film and TV as a whole. And the same goes for music. I mean, you don't have to worry about, I don't listen to rap really anymore either. And if I do, it's only exclusively Christian rap or Tech N9ne. And even then, it's a pretty big switch.
It's Christian rap or Tech N9ne.
Or Tech N9ne. Or Steady Mobbin only.
My goodness.
Okay. Anyway. Yep. But music isn't as much as an issue for me anymore, but I do am becoming, like I said, just mindful of the intake of it. But music is less of an issue for me because it's punk rock. They don't really have too many thematic issues there. It's all about breakups, and now they're about divorce and kids. So
I don't know if this is going to veer because I don't have Garrett's notes right in front of me like you do. I don't know if this changes the direction of the conversation, but how much of this outside of your walk with God as a new parent, but soon to be new parent, how much did this, view on culture change whenever you had a kid?
Immensely. It went 180.
I mean, because I'm thinking about, because I'm having a girl and thinking about the type of stuff that I'm watching and consuming and like how women are portrayed, how women are treated. I don't know. It's just, it's something that I'm becoming more and more aware of. Not that I agreed with the stuff.
That's why you had a problem with Bicentennial Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You didn't want your daughter to become Little Miss.
I didn't want to live in a world where a woman could marry a robot.
Yeah, that's right. We're doing Robin Williams interview. It's great.
Emmett 7 now, and so like he kind of knows what's going on or whatever. And so like when he was a baby, I'd sit and watch The Office with him. And like, I mean, I don't really have a problem with watching The Office, sitting and watching it with him, like, you know, who knows what's coming next, and it's I can't watch that. So our show that we watch before bed is Duck Dynasty.
Yeah. Well, you know, I cringe now, like when Violet says "dang," I'm like, don't say that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, and it said "crap" the other day, and I was like, what? Who are you?
Don't say that. I'm not gonna go into detail, but I work with a guy, and I said the D word the other day at work.
Yeah.
Not
dang.
No.
That would be good for the video.
Yeah,
video podcast people.
And there was an audible
podcast with video.
Yeah, this it was an audible gasp. Like, Hey, oh, well, that's a cuss word or a naughty word. Actually,
oh, is that why you called me and asked me? Okay.
he called all of us.
I figured my exact word. I called Garrett first because I said, because she said, oh, that's a naughty word. You can't say that. I was like, what? And I repeated the word. He's like, yeah, you can't say that's a cuss word, man. I was like, I'm going to call a pastor right now and prove to you that this is not a cuss word. Oh, but, boy. You know, it does make me think that, I mean, if Violet said that, I'd freak out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's just, I don't want to be a hypocrite either. So, I do, you having a kid will drastically change that for you.
I know it will, but there are certain areas to where I feel like I see, I've lived the effects of just being so shielded from stuff to where I know I need to be equipped to be there with her when it happens. Like when certain things happen in life, well, like I know that's not from a like, umbrella like helicopter type parent thing, but you know her experience has got to be her own. I realize that, and my goal is to be there to walk that out and for her.
She's got to have her Fleetwood Mac moment.
Yeah,
go that's her what own we're way. Doing with Leo is we shout will show Eddie. Him. Shout out. We will show him like low level stuff.
Yeah,
and I think one of a music video that we showed
it's microdosing.
Yeah, well, we'd show him like
uniform Charlie Kilo. Yeah, no,
that's high level dose. Like one of the things, and I know some people have differences and stuff, but like the music video "Look What You Made Me Do" by Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
That music video and the Abby's things
like, her ears parted.
Careful now. Yeah.
Oh. I know how hey, it's like. I understand. I get it. But it was just it wasn't necessarily the song, but it was the visual imagery of her sitting on a throne with these snakes coiling up around her, and like she's dead, and now she's come back. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of spiritual undertones. Like, see, Leo, these are the things that we need to be prepared for and look for. And then, like, if you get on YouTube. Like a scary movie ad will pop up, you know, and we'll be like, all right, you know, like this is an inaccurate portrayal of how we as Christians would handle something like this. I was like, it doesn't make for a good movie if a demon's in your house and you cast it out in the name of Jesus, you know, and then actually,
it'd be pretty funny if you made a Christian comedy like that.
Yeah. Like released a movie and it was like, oh my gosh, this person's possessed. All right, get out, demon. Get in out. Jesus' name. And then it's like credits roll. Oh, okay. And it's like, all right,
cool.
All right. Can I get it in a pig?
Yeah. Go hang out there. No, I think that's a good way to do it without being, because I mean, hearing you say that, it's like, holy. But then at the same time, it's like when Violet gets there, I'll do the same thing. Cause my dad did that for me. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't say, hey, you can't watch this, but let's understand.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And he didn't have to do that for everything. Cause once you get that foundation, cause my mind hearing you say that, it kind of made me, it kind of made me flash back. It's like the Draymond Green thing. You know, it kind of made me flash back to when I was a kid. It's because, I was reliving it. Cause I'm sure I was making a very intense face listening to you say that. I know I was. But, you know, he didn't do that to me every time we watched something. He did it when I was very little and forming to show me what to, basically how to discern. Now, granted, that's parental like discernment, not spiritual discernment. Yeah. It's a little different, but it's from their wisdom to show you. But that way you can
spiritual
still.
Spiritual discernment. Your well, dad
it is, but, you
spiritually
know,
discerns.
Correct. But how much of that, this is a mostly parents conversation now, but because you're not a parent yet. Not to be, but
mostly parents.
And Luna doesn't have any kids.
Yeah, so, Luna.
That we know of.
Yeah, so, getting busy in the neighborhood.
Yeah, she did hang out with Jack for a little bit. Anyway, as a parent, though, it's I could see it being challenging, especially as Violet gets a little older and, you know, Lorelai is a little older and you have Leo. Mm-hmm. You're thinking you're doing everything spiritually, but how much of some of it is your flesh, too? Like, because I feel this way, you should therefore feel this way. That's not the spirit. I'm not saying that's wrong either,
right?
But that's what I was trying to say. Like, you know, I wonder how much some of it was just my dad and my mom saying, hey, this is, and also, but dressing it up. And I know their hearts, their motives, like, hey, this is spiritually wrong. And then looking back at it is like, was it spiritually wrong? And you just not like it, you know? And,
For me personally, I didn't have that.
I had TV experience. Guardian.
Well,
did you have TV Guardian?
I didn't have TV Guardian, but it did not. I do not remember the ability to just seek things out because there was such a like fear or whatever instilled in me. But I forget the point I was going to make now. Dang, I hate when that happens.
It's okay.
No, I don't think that was it.
It's okay. If it comes back to you, just go, Mott.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, do we all know about Ranger?
I don't know what we're talking about.
Like if I ever call you out of the blue, no. If I ever call you out of the blue and I say the word Ranger on the phone, that is a legit code word for danger. I never use it unless I'm talking about referencing Ranger like right now. So if I'm ever on the phone and I'm like, hey, man, how are you doing? Yeah, just hopping in the Ranger. You better call the police.
Mine's marshmallows and mashed potatoes.
You serious? I need to know these things. Mine's Ranger. Dead serious. You knew. Yeah. And I know I've told you before for facts. Anyway, so until he comes back up, unless y'all have another thought, we'll move on to the next bullet point. All right. So talking about media, social media, and the baggage that comes with it, you can't avoid. I mean, you went off, and I'll start with you because you went off the grid for a while.
I did. And
except for your burner Twitter account.
Literally every day. Hey, pipe down.
Two phones. He's like,
pipe down.
I don't evade taxes. And I don't have a burner Twitter account. Yeah. Okay. And I'm not harder than Garrett. Garrett just goes into the coffee bar.
Literally, like every day that I'm on Facebook, like Twitter is kind of my newspaper, so I don't really. Same.
Twitter's the best.
Like, it will never be X.
X. No, it's always Twitter.
It's basically Twitter. My newspaper, so like I'll probably always at least keep like some sort of account, even if it has no followers, whatever, just to learn. But like every single time that I log on Facebook, I almost delete it just because it's just mindless scrolling. I'm not learning anything. Like, I mean, sure, I like to see what y'all are doing and stuff, but like it doesn't really change my day. And it's a struggle for me to have it. Like I deleted it for 2 years and it was just very peaceful because I was living my life and not worrying about what anybody else was doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Did it take you any time to get used to it?
I
mean,
every time I pull my phone. I know
they could hear you. So I was repeating the question. Did it take you any time to get used to it?
Yeah, every time you pull your phone out of your pocket, you're going to where that app was. Yeah. And then it's like,
But you have to have Twitter. Like you said, Twitter, I don't post on Twitter anymore. That's how I get my news.
Right, exactly.
So I never would have known about John Calipari till the next morning because I don't watch TV news. So you got to have TV news. But like Facebook, Instagram.
Well, we watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix. Highly great recommend. Movie. Yeah, just about the damn it. And then I got the book that the dude wrote, The 10 Reasons You Should Delete Your Social Media.
It's a documentary.
Wait, yeah. I was thinking Social Network.
Yeah, never I know mind. What you were thinking. Yeah, you said great social movie. Yeah.
You should watch it.
It's great.
Yeah. Shout out. Although that's a Garrett A documentary. Garrett's going to obsess over it.
Oh, Garrett will delete all
Garrett's
of his social
It's going to be Garrett's identity after he watches that.
Maybe not, though, because you have...
Social love. I don't have Netflix, so...
Oh. Lookmovie.com.
Lookmovie.com.
I'll send you a link.
Okay.
.io.
Me and JP have more traffic. If the FBI ever tracked down me and JP...
I don't use it. I don't use it.
No, it's real, because you can pay to use it, so it's safe.
Ish. But it's just...
Except for Dawson. Dawson had a Chinese credit card attached to it. Long story. Don't worry about it. I've never had that issue.
You see a VPN. You're good.
Yeah. DuckDuckGo. I recommend.
But I don't post on social media. And when I do, it's usually about Emmett. And I think, am I just doing this to show off my kid? You know, or like to feel good about myself because I'm proud of my kid or whatever. And I'm like.
And I think some of it, I think it has a little bit of a catch-22, though. Because I think it brings an unnecessary guilt because of things like the social dilemma, which is good. I agree. Mm-hmm. However, I think I know in my heart, I'll post a picture of Violet and my family. I'm not doing it for clout now.
Sure.
Maybe at one point in high school, early college, you know, doing certain things, maybe you are. But like now, I'd post so infrequently.
But
it's
do you think we do that now, though, just because we're conditioned to?
Yes.
I think so. Yeah, I think maybe that. But I'm pretty sure we're all the same way. Yeah. I don't know about him because with the purple crosses.
I don't do it anymore.
I miss it. You had better post. It was more safe.
No, I can't post nothing now. All I hear is like,
you get roasted
so much.
Those posts are like, more sanctified. Yeah, you get roasted and mostly bros.
Yeah.
But no, I maybe we have been conditioned. But, as for me.
In my house.
In my house. Abby's kind of become kind of a very skeptical of posting anything about Violet at all just because of predators. So,
yeah,
but I think the broader question, because we're going to get into the weeds on social media here. I think if I keep going down this rabbit hole,
we already hit the 50 minute mark.
Yeah. So talking about social media as a whole and the culture, you've gone off grid with it.
Mm-hmm.
I have not, but I've severely limited intake. I've deleted Instagram before, definitely deleted TikTok for a long time because I never used TikTok. But as a whole, how do we interact with social media? Because I think it's one of two things for most people. It's an obsession to where they thrive off every like. I think that's less our generation. I think our generation is the last teeter-totter of that, where we're kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out on that.
Yeah, but
the
generation,
but the generation below us lives off of it.
It's their,
it's their entertainment. It's not their...
Well, it's not their entertainment. Yeah. Well, it's their pulse. It's the lifeline of their happiness. Like
information.
Yeah. Because they don't get it because they're all so connected to it.
Yeah.
I mean... A younger generation interacts with it differently than we did in the sense of we don't post something so that, you know, we get all of this self-gratification of like, oh, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that do.
Yeah.
But I think that's from a different perspective of like, I don't know. It's different. There's different studies that talk about it. But, you know, social media for a younger generation is just like, it is my entertainment. It is my TV. It is my...
You watch TikTok like TV?
Well, yeah, like watching full episodes on TV.
I did watch Quiet on the Set on TikTok.
I think what it does, though, is it rewires your brain. And
how you were just talking about when we got here, showing a video and watching it on 2x speed. Like, we can't just sit still and like enjoy something. Like,
I saw I'm a purist. I watch things at normal
speed. I saw a Mr. Beast video one
time. The grocery store?
No, I don't remember which one it was. But that keeps popping up for
me. A lot of grocery stores.
The thing that I saw of it, it said, watching this video is like watching ADHD. Like, I mean, it's just
completely different.
And I mean,
well, I've seen algorithms where like the show Cocomelon.
We don't
do that either, but they change scenes every 2 to 3 seconds. So talk about Dads
Who Try.
Do what?
Are you talking about the Instagram account Dads Who Try?
I saw
a video and they were talking about how basically Cocomelon is like cocaine for kids. Your brain,
their brain
so
is just
stimulated
going, and that's why like when it's taken away from them, they're
we've never had the Cocomelon withdrawal.
It
is an addiction, and that's what like the Social Dilemma and then that book 10 Reasons You Should Delete, like it literally changes your brain. Like, I mean, it's it's an addiction, and it's when, like I said, even now every time I get on, I want to delete it, but I haven't yet.
See, I think we're talking so much about the bad of media,
culture. How do you interact with it?
So
how should we interact
so
with it?
Like, even talking like back to the kids, Cocomelon, like we have to integrate our kids into this stuff because it is going to be a part of their lives. And so how do you do that? What does it look like? Is it monitoring screen times? Is it, you know, curating what they're taking in all the time?
Both of you, you know, between that's Leo and Emmett, because obviously Violet and with yours, we're not at that point.
That's what I was going to say. Emmett came home the other day and said, "Dad, all my friends just watch YouTube, and they just watch YouTube for watching YouTube."
Yeah.
He said, why don't we? I said, "We watch YouTube like if we want to learn something, or if like there is something we're seeking."
Yeah.
And like he said, "Well, all my friends just watch one video after another." And
they watch videos of people playing video games.
That's like, what I'll tell you. We have limited my son on watching. So we used to give him an hour of screen time during the week. The weekdays, you know, Monday through Friday. And then on the weekend, we'd let them do whatever, you know. But it got to a point where it's like, you can't even have the hour because everything would revolve. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, can I split it up into 20 minutes here and then 20 minutes there and then like 15 there? And be like, no. And it would revolve around that. And there's times where, you know, he's 9 and we'd let him have his iPad or whatever, get on the Xbox, and he would sit there and watch video after video after video after video. Yep. And I'd be like, "Hey, bud, why don't you turn that thing off and go play outside?
You know, you messed up. You're getting the 'Hey, bud.'
Yeah.
Hey, bud."
And like, and I'm not saying this and knocking him at all, because this is what they're growing
Shout
up
out baptism. In. He just got baptized.
Yeah. He did just got baptized.
Something to knock your 9-year-old son.
Hey, you just got baptized. Let's humble you a little bit.
Let's take you down a few pegs.
But you know,
it's like coming down after getting the 10 commandments and seeing them all make the golden calf.
You know what?
This is Leo's golden calf moment.
But I mean, this is such an integral part of their growing up, like all their friends, like Tanner said, they're all watching YouTube. You watch any of these kids and they will just walk around with their iPad. I seen at Cracker Barrel after church yesterday, these two kids just standing in line, looking down at their iPad as the world just passes them by, you know? And like that just, sometimes my mom, she'll give Lorelai her phone while we're sitting there. And I'm like, I love you so much. You know, and I get it. You know, I used to be like, I'm not going to be one of them parents that we all give do, their yeah. kid yeah. this. And yeah. you know what, Lorelai here, just
when they're having a meltdown and, yeah. and yeah. you know what?
Watch it. And yeah. Yeah.
Just, it's either that or you're unconscious. One of the two. I'll put you in a suplex. It's fine. We'll figure it out.
That's right.
Well, I do think it's interesting though that I think it's in that documentary too that the people that created all these products, how much they limited their kids like screen time and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like
oh wow.
Yeah. Just, yeah, you need to really watch that this yeah. week. You'll get a good rise out of it. So I think the crux of let's move it ahead to adults. How do we interact with it as adults? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you build the foundations and as they're young, because we are in that pivotal generation. I hope the generation below us mm-hmm. can see that the dangers of it too, because it's an unrecognized idol for the Absolutely. Generation below us. They have no idea they're worshiping
and above us on Facebook.
Oh yeah,
dude, they're insane. They're crazier than the younger generation.
That's why our generation is
we're like the golden generation.
You want to crap on the millennials, but we are definitely.
I have told my dad he's not allowed to watch YouTube yeah. unless I send him the link because oh, it's like
yeah. conspiracy. He'll fall down the hole.
He's falling and he can't get up out of the MAGA hole. So you know, so how do we let's just talk Christians our age, how do we maneuver social media without making it an idol and without being, and I guess it's not like without going blackout, if you're not going to black out social media,
yeah.
how do we interact with it properly?
I know for me, it's like, it's checks and balance with scripture, like my mm-hmm. own quality time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I am spending time with the Lord, I have those. The thing is, I couldn't even hear that.
I thought you crashed.
I felt it, but I couldn't hear it. Because I have these headphones in. Couldn't hear it at all. I'll say this coffee's hitting. Oh my
goodness. I'll put some eye drops in
it. It's on the last it's on the last stop of the night. We're having wrap up soon.
I got some bottles upstairs. Yeah.
All right. Oh my gosh. Okay, never mind.
All right. So point I was making story, though. You need a relationship with the Lord to balance this out.
Yeah.
Because it is like a refining fire. All the stuff that we consume, you know, it is. I can't focus with that.
Well, I needed to see where we were.
I understand. But yeah, you need that refining fire in your life to kind of filter a lot of that. Because as you get older, you know, you have discernment to where, like growing up, if I saw something that I shouldn't have, or I said something I didn't need to, I thought that was the end of the world.
Yeah.
Whereas as adults, you know, we have this understanding of grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and walking that out in media, I think is just, yeah, mm-hmm.
important. Yeah. I think for me, just checking the why behind and how much in moderation. I mean, I spend a lot of time on Twitter. I've kind of phased out mostly Facebook outside of like the poop scroll or like passive scrolling. I don't barely get on TikTok. I spend most of my time on Twitter. I barely ever open Instagram. Instagram's an afterthought for me. But I spend way too much time on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Way too much time on, probably still too much time on Facebook, even though I'm not on it near as much as I ever used to be. And I don't want to get stuck in the religious hole of being like, I should spend all that time in the Word. I should spend all that time in prayer. Too, because that's too far pivot the other way.
It's very legalistic to.
Yes, it is. But I also feel like there is a balance and I'm not in that balance. So I think it's just being able to be mature enough to recognize there is a balance and you need to find that balance.
Yes.
And I do think the screen time part of your phone is a huge part.
And it's really important to know that each one of us' approach to it is going to look different because of how we interact with it and how it affects us. And so, yeah, you can't just have the idea of you just have to be in the Word and all this stuff, because when it does become legalistic, you know, it just discredits.
Well, reading the Word can be an idol. Maybe controversial, but if you're reading the Word to read the Word to avoid something else,
yeah,
God can still use that. But at the same time, if it's a checklist thing for you.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing.
No, I'm serious. If you're reading the Bible to do a checklist thing, Caitlin, you're reading the Bible to avoid something else, but you're not doing it for growth or deeper understanding or knowledge, it becomes a legalistic, puffed up sense of something.
Kind of puff up here.
Yes. And not God can, obviously it's a better alternative, but you're still not getting really anything out of it because you're mental, you're not doing it in the right spirit.
Yeah, my wife, you know, she will admit that she gets into the hole of just reading her Bible to like learning the Bible and not necessarily applying a lot of it to her life. And I totally get that.
I can agree with that. Yeah. Cause I find myself sometimes
you were giving me like that blue. Well, this is the craziest thing. Listen,
when you were saying it, like some people just read the Bible and I was like, hold on. But I understand where you're coming from.
It was the Parmesan crusted.
Yeah. And what JP said about Caitlin there, I can find myself like in my study time, I'm studying to know the Bible rather than studying to know God, but it's the application that bridges what, why you're studying and everything. And,
I'm not saying it's always a good thing to read the Bible. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm just saying, I think there are differences in hearts and mindsets
that
make a difference into the why you're doing it. But, did you have something you want to add? We'll move the last points here.
Go ahead.
Okay. You sure? That's how I got something to say. No, that's fine. Are you sure? I don't want to get a text a couple of days. Like I should have said something.
Well, I've been studying, like I said in the last one, like I've been studying like money and stuff. And as I was studying that, I was like, man, like I'm spending all this time studying this. I need to be studying the word as well. And so like my studies, like if you call it like non-sacred studies, if you will, really pushed growth in my studying of the scripture and word and stuff like that. And so that was kind of cool to see that.
The correlation of those two things. Yeah. Agreed. I've had some of those pivotal ushering. So these briefs are sweaty. And I got an itch in my crack. Anyway. All right. So I'm going to skip a few here and just kind of talk on a broad level of culture. How do we interact with lifestyle culture and the church? So I'm going to tag both of those in together as a two-parter. So we have another episode down the line where we talk about different kinds of sins and the levels of sins. Yes. Episode. Right. Correct. So just on a very, yes. Yeah. That's why I'm coupling these two together. Two-parter. How do we approach mega hot topic sins? And we don't have to go into them by name, but like abortion, homosexuality.
They're on podcasts.
Yes, they are. We're going to have one, but this fits in the culture crisis. So. Sure.
Hey, you're like Lorelai. It's like, don't touch me with that hand.
Don't touch.
Oh.
Golly. How do we as Christians, how do we need to approach the hot topic, sin topics, and how do we interact with church? Because I think post-COVID interacting with church is a big deal. And I think in order to maneuver a culture crisis and maneuver in a dark world, we do need to have a church plug-in and a church lifeline. And also not be ignorant to the first part of it, not be ignorant to the biggest culture issues that we have in terms of
I think it starts with relationship. The first point that you're saying with these broad scope, like,
yeah. And we will deep dive these at a later.
Yeah. So you have to have a relationship with the person that has this issue or has this point of view.
Yeah.
And to walk that out.
Yes.
And I would bounce that. I would, you know, I would flow that right into the point of, your church cannot, like your church has to be just as relation.
Yes.
Like, you cannot have the same approach to church that you do social media as what can I get out of this?
Yeah.
Like you have to put just as much into it as you are getting out of it.
So, right.
Yeah.
Without that relationship, you're only going to view people as that sin. Yeah. Like you're only going to see that. We watched it was Lecrae and Jackie Hill Perry, and they deep dove on this. Highly recommend it. Check it out. But Lecrae said his brother is actually gay, and he said that he was talking to his brother, and he said, how am I supposed to think about this? And that his brother's response was, I would prefer to not be, I would prefer that not be my identity. I'm so much more than my sexuality, you know, and just like, it's a person.
Like, and that's not the misconception is something on like that example is at the end of the day, the culture, like mainstream, like these opinions have made these issues about sexuality, about that issue when there's more to the issue than.
I used to think that when we did Mostly Focused of 3-4 years ago, I used to blame the church for a lot of this stuff, but it's really not just the church. It's just the culture, secular culture too. Like there are so many more things beyond abortion and homosexuality that are bigger, just as big, if not bigger issues in the church. Mm-hmm, sure. And, you know, but we seem to have just homed in on a handful of them. Yep. And when people like to avoid the plank analogy, and when we have so many other sins and not only in our life, but within our own walls of our church and our household that we need to address first. That's not to say we turn a blind eye, but there is other things I think we need to address first and handle our approach different. So when it comes to maneuvering them in the culture, I think it's delicate how you do it. I, you know, cause I, in my day-to-day life, I'd have to seek out that issue. You know what I mean? Or like really go out of my way to find those kind of issues and then inject my opinion. Because when I have these conversations with people and the times that I have had them, it's not like I'm witnessing. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm telling them, I love you and you're great, but here's why I think it's wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's how you should interact with it. But in my head previously, that's how I thought was the best way to do it. Like,
I'm not trying to stop you.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I feel like this topic could flow very, very easily into our next episode. So I think we should kind of table because I think
I want to read one note.
The context of culture though very much ties into denominations. So
I want to read one note off Garrett's thing before we go into the next episode. Okay.
So bothering you.
It says it's talking about pre-salvation when he was on drugs, and it says asterisk mark. Was it wrong to be obsessed with Brokeback Mountain? Question mark. Is my sexuality at stake? Question mark.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really tough time for me.
I can cut that out.
Yeah, don't worry. That definitely needs to be cut out.
What time was that? It's great.
Yeah.
All right. Any closing thoughts before we jump into Denomination Nation?
Just not that time.
So this has been another episode of Mostly Focused. Do you have any closing thoughts on culture that you want to stick to the man?
I don't think so at this moment.
Okay. I mean,
I'm good. Grace and truth.
Did you have anything on your notes you didn't get to say that you would like to say?
I mean, there's a lot on there.
Because you got something literally highlighted in pink.
Well, this was talking about the big...
they don't read their Bible all caps.
Yeah, this is me and biblical illiteracy amongst the church.
Wait, that's in the next episode.
Not necessarily.
We could apply.
Yeah, it could apply. Teaser, you can use it for the next episode.
Oh,
shit. They don't read their Bible.
I'm going to pull a John and just take your notes, though.
Yeah.
He said he had no notes for the second one, too. He's got all this stuff. Yeah. But do you have anything you would like to share off your notes?
No.
You got Bible verses. You didn't read any scripture this episode.
That's fine. That's I came over prepared. So.
Wow, that's
well. If anything's been established here, you don't have to be prepared at all.
No, I know.
Jonathan's like, you know what? This we're going to be prepared. We're going to bring our stuff in, and I get prepared to bring my stuff in, and we're
compared
just
compared to previous
listen, we use
all
it.
Of it.
Listen,
yeah, read all of Garrett's notes.
I'm with you.
You know,
it's okay.
Every Monday,
with you. Solidarity.
But we genuinely, this is way more prepared than the previous Mostly Focused. So
yeah,
take it in stride, JP. Do you have any closing thoughts on the culture?
No, I've said enough. We're screwed.
Wait, up in smoke, there goes the culture. Yes, it's been Anderson Mostly Focused. I'm one of your hosts, John Quarter, joined by Tanner Wilson, Garrett Hunt.
We all pick up our phones since then,
except for me, because my phone's over there.
Can we describe this for the podcast?
Yeah, Lighthouse.
Yeah.
And non-purple
crashing
cross.
Waves.
I mean, and then if... Yeah, purple. It's a non-purple cross.
Non-purple.
It's got the...
Is that Robert Pattinson? Like,
and I see Willem Dafoe right here.
Yeah.
The Green Goblin in the background.
Over in the corner.
Oh.
He's never seen The Lighthouse,
yeah,
obviously.
You should.
Obviously.
Uncultured culture. No,
anyway, thank you for joining us. We'll be back...
Hate that guy.
...in the next week or who?
Green Goblin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Twice.
All right. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with our next episode about Denomination Nation, where we break down the difference of denominations and why Church of Christ is the worst.
Where can they find us?
Cut that.
Where can they find us? Like, this is a podcast. Like, why don't we just say, like, where you can find us?
You can listen to the podcast on your Apple.
Wherever you get your podcast.
Which is really just Spotify or Apple. Anyway,
on your Apple.
You can also watch us on YouTube.
Yeah.
We're on YouTube now.
We are.
And I'm about to do this weekly episodic reminder, and they're going to be clips. JP already knows. They're going to be little clips of Garrett wisdom I pull from each episode.
Oh, gosh.
I already have two from the first two I'm very excited about. And I figured out how to do it. I just edit the clip down and do it that way. Although I deleted the other one. So anyway, we'll be back with the next episode later. Love you all.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.